Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me for the East Valley News. Today is July 30th, 2026. I'm your volunteer reader, Karen Kelly. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. So let's get started. Our first article comes to us from azcentral.com and is entitled Harry Mitchell, former Tempe Mayor and U.S. Congressman, dies at age 86. Article by Kathy Tulamello, Lauren DeYoung, and Dan Nowicki. Harry Mitchell, who served as mayor of Tempe for 16 years and helped set in motion many of the developments that define the city today, has died at age 86. His death was announced July 29th on Facebook by his son, former Tempe Mayor Mark Mitchell. "We are heartbroken to share that our dad, Harry Mitchell, has passed away. While we are grieving, we are filled with immense gratitude for the immeasurable joy our dad brought into this world. He taught us how to live fully, love fiercely, and serve faithfully," Mark Mitchell wrote. Harry Mitchell served as mayor of Tempe from 1978 to 1994, also teaching government classes most of that time at his alma mater, Tempe High School. Mitchell, a Democrat, served in the Arizona Senate from 1999 to 2006, then served two terms in the U.S. House of Representatives after being elected in 2006 and 2008. He also helped co-found Tempe City Cities, a foreign exchange program in 1971. But Mitchell was best known for his stint as mayor. He was instrumental in the city's push to develop Tempe Town Lake after a countrywide vote on a more ambitious Rio Salado project was soundly defeated. "There is no part of Tempe that has not been influenced by the legacy of the Honorable Harry Mitchell," Mayor Corey Wood said in a written statement. "Harry Mitchell is a bona fide legend and was a true statesman in every way." Harry Mitchell helped shape Tempe, Vice Mayor Arlene Chin said. She said Mitchell inspired her career in politics, first appointing her to the mayor's Youth Advisory Commission in the 1980s. "When you hear the parts about Tempe, where people know each other, people care about each other, people support each other, that's Harry Mitchell." A statue stands near Tempe City Hall in the Harry E. Mitchell Municipal Complex. Arizona lost a giant today. Harry Mitchell was a Tempe High civics teacher, a mayor, a state senator, and a congressman. And through all of it, one of the kindest and most decent people in Arizona politics. Attorney General Chris Mays, a Democrat, wrote on X, "He taught generations of us what public service is supposed to look like. My condolences to Mark and the entire Mitchell family." Mark Mitchell wrote, "While our hearts are heavy, we want to focus on celebrating Harry's incomparable life of service to his family, his community, and to the many lives he touched. He leaves behind an incredible legacy of love, laughter, and treasured memories that will stay with us forever. We thank you for keeping our family in your prayers during this time." Harry Mitchell married his wife, Mary Ann, in 1962. She died in 2019. Mark Mitchell said the family would provide information about arrangements soon. Tributes to Harry Mitchell flowed in from Tempe residents and Arizona's Democratic politicians. Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes remembered Mitchell in a statement. "His life was marked by dedicated service and a genuine commitment to the people of Arizona and communities he served." U.S. Representative Greg Stanton called Mitchell as Tempe as it gets, said on Facebook. He gave decades of his life to the city he loved. He worked to revitalize downtown Tempe, working hand in hand with ASU and local stakeholders, and played a key role in bringing Tempe Town Lake to life. His fingerprints are on nearly every corner of his hometown. Running for Congress was the culmination of a lifetime of service. A blue dog through and through, Harry frequently reached across the aisle, but he was never afraid to take a hard vote. He lost his seat in Congress after voting for the landmark Affordable Care Act, extending health coverage to tens of thousands of his constituents, but he never regretted it, not for a moment. That was Harry, a public servant who put people before politics always. And that's all the time we have for the article. Harry Mitchell, former Tempe mayor and U.S. congressman, dies at age 86. Our next article comes to us from the Tempe Independent. Alameda Drive, Bike, Pedestrian Work to Last Through Summer by Independent News Media. Construction on a new multi-use path on the Alameda Drive alignment will continue until late summer, Tempe officials said. The work, which began last week, is taking place from the pedestrian crossing at the railroad to South Wilson Street and Alameda Drive on the west side of the railroad, city officials said. The new connection will include landscaping and lighting. Pedestrian and bicycle access will be maintained except for one day of full closure near the end of July, according to a city release, which added signs will be posted in advance of the closure date. For questions, the project hotline can be reached at 602-361-5752. Neighborhood services can be reached neighborhoods@tempe.gov or by phone at 480-350-2840. And this concludes the article, Alameda Drive Bike Pedestrian Work to Last Through Summer. Let's continue. Our next article also comes from the Tempe Independent. Tempe provides heat relief as forecast predicts 120 degree temperatures. Written by Dan McCarthy. Tempe has provided several locations where residents can receive relief from the heat that, according to the National Weather Service, may approach 121 degrees through the weekend. The locations provide water in a connection with the city's Hope Homeless Outreach Team for further assistance, according to Tempe officials. The locations include Church of the Epiphany, 2222 South Price Road, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tempe Public Library, 3500 South Rural Road, Monday through Wednesday, hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, hours from 12 noon to 5 p.m. Escalante Community Center, 2150 East Orange Street. Monday through Thursday, hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, hours 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, hours 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Labor Day, they will be open noon to 6 p.m. Kiwanis Recreation Center, 6111 South All America Way. Monday through Thursday, the hours are 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday, they're open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Weekends, they're open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Labor Day, they will be open noon to 6 p.m. North Tempe Multigenerational Center, 1555 North Bridal Wreath Street. Monday through Friday, the hours are 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and they will be closed on Labor Day. And we have the West Side Multigenerational Center, 715 West 5th Street. Hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and on Saturday, open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They will be closed on Labor Day. And as a reminder, the Heat Relief Network, the Maricopa County Department of Public Health's Heat Relief Network, manages an interactive map that tracks heat relief sites across the valley in four categories. Cooling centers are indoor locations where people can come in and out during the day to drink water and get out of the heat for a while. Respite centers are indoor, air-conditioned locations that offer water and allow uninterrupted rest, sitting or even lying down during hours of operation. Depending on the facility and the organization running it, meals, showers, and laundry services are offered. Hydration stations can be either indoor or outdoor sites where people can get bottled water and other donated items to protect them from the heat. Collection sites are where water bottles can be donated for use in hydration and cooling stations. Some collection centers accept other donations such as cash, light clothing, hats, lip balm, and sunblock. Some cooling centers also double as donation sites. And this concludes the article. Tempe provides heat relief as forecast predicts 120 degree temperatures. As a reminder, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Let's continue. The next article comes to us from the Tempe Tribune entitled Dorsey Station Work Begins in Earnest by Tribune News Staff. A wrecking ball and bulldozer started Tempe's latest step toward more affordable housing last week as crews began demolishing the former Food City Center in the Apache Corridor. Purchased by the city in 2021, the property soon will become what the city called an affordable living hub with easy access to light rail and the city's neighboring resource center. Residents have told us that expanding affordable housing is a top priority. "We've listened and taken action," said Mayor Corey Woods. "The same year we launched our Hometown for All Affordable Housing Initiative, we invested more than $10 million to purchase the Food City property. This development will substantially increase affordable housing and provide opportunities for those who need it most in Tempe. Dorsey Station at Apache Boulevard and Dorsey Lane comprises two properties over nearly 8 acres. Tempe developers Urban Development Partners are spearheading the project, adding to its portfolio of local projects that include the award-winning Farmer Arts District downtown. Dorsey Station includes 400 mixed-income units with 90% of units designated as affordable and 10% market rate, a ground-floor urban-scale grocer, alignment with the city's goals for food education and accessibility as championed by the adjacent Envision Center, the city's resource hub. Demolition will be ongoing through the summer. Construction could start as early as winter, with housing possibly available by 2029. Tempe will remain the property owner. The apartment homes will be available to low and moderate income households earning between 30% and 80% of the area median income, AMI. Under the current income limits for the Phoenix, Mesa, Chandler metropolitan area, which includes Tempe, a two-person household could earn up to approximately $27,000 at 30% of AMI, $45,000 at 50% of AMI, or $71,950 at 80% of AMI. Dorsey Station is designed to help meet the goals of the city's Hometown for All initiative to greatly expand affordable and workhouse housing in Tempe. The development will follow another La Victoria Commons, which opened earlier this year and added 104 affordable apartments to the Apache Corridor. As part of that development, 19 affordable for-sale townhomes are also available, bringing home ownership opportunities to the area. Tempe purchased the former Apache Central Center in 2021 following the closure of Food City. The city acted quickly to buy the property in response to neighborhood concerns about the possibility of unattainable housing being developed on the site. Neighborhood leaders also lamented the loss of a grocery store, creating a food desert. Tempe used $10.7 million in general fund dollars to buy the property. It previously owned a parcel west of the center that is now part of the Dorsey Station development. And this concludes the article entitled Dorsey Station Work Begins in Earnest. Our next article also comes from the Tempe Tribune, entitled A Welcome Back from TU Superintendent. This is by Dr. Stacia Wilson, Tempe Union High School District Superintendent. Dear Tempe Union families, welcome to the 2026-27 school year. Whether your student is walking through our doors for the very first time or beginning their final year before graduation, we are excited to welcome them back for another year of learning, growth, and opportunity. At Tempe Union, our goal has always been bigger than helping students earn a diploma. We are committed to preparing every student for success after high school, whether that path leads to college, a career, military service, or another meaningful opportunity. As the world continues to change, we remain focused on providing students with the knowledge, skills, and experiences they need to thrive in an ever-evolving future. This year, we will continue advancing the priorities outlined in our strategic plan by strengthening academic achievement, fostering safe and welcoming schools, expanding opportunities for students to explore their interests, and building meaningful partnerships with our families and community. We are committed to continuous improvement because we know our students deserve nothing less. That commitment was recently recognized in a meaningful way. This summer, Tempe Union received the Accredited with Merit distinction by Cognia, a globally recognized accreditation organization. This distinction reflects excellence across every aspect of our district, from teaching and learning to leadership, culture, and continuous improvement. More importantly, it affirms the incredible work happening every day in our classroom and recognizes the dedication of our students, employees, families, governing board, and community partners. While we are proud of this recognition, we know our greatest accomplishments are measured by the success of our students. Every day, our teachers and staff work to challenge, support, and inspire young people to discover their passions, build meaningful relationships, and develop the confidence to pursue their goals. Together with our families, we are focused on creating learning environments where every student feels valued, supported, and prepared for whatever comes next. As we begin another school year, thank you for entrusting us with your students' education. Your partnership plays an important role in their success, and we look forward to working alongside you throughout the year. On behalf of our governing board and the entire Tempe Union team, welcome back. We wish you and your family a wonderful school year. And this concludes the article, A Welcome Back from TU Superintendent. You're listening to the East Valley News here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Remember, you can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. Today, we are focusing on the news of the past week for the towns of Tempe and Ahwatukee. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. Let's continue on. Our next article comes to us from the Ahwatukee Foothills News, entitled Data Center Opponents Create Their Own Monsoon in Ahwatukee. Article by Paul Mariniak, AFN Executive Editor. Data centers have triggered a national storm of protest and opponents of a 1 million square foot facility in Ahwatukee are busily creating a monsoon of their own. In less than 4 months, opponents of California-based Menlo Equities Data Center at 48th Street and East Thistle Landing Drive have been digging into city permits, zoning records, land use regulations, acoustic analysis, utility rules, water issues, air quality reports, medical and health reports, and other materials, refusing to accept Phoenix officials' assertion that the project is basically a done deal. They've been using their arsenal of information to pepper officials and agencies at every government level, from Phoenix City Council and the Planning and Development Department to the State Attorney General to U.S. Senator Mark Kelly, with questions and concerns about the six-building office data center campus. Formed as a nonprofit called the Ahwatukee Community Alliance, the opponents are led by a board comprising people who less than a year ago were just living their lives, a social worker, a retired engineer, even a piano teacher. Consider Craig Evans, who readily admits that when 2026 dawned, he knew little about data centers. Commercial glazing estimator and project manager Evans had even worked on smaller versions of them years ago, installing windows. but he said he never gave much thought to the massive electrical systems, cooling equipment, and backup generators operating behind those windows. Then plans for a sprawling data center near 48th Street and East Thistle Landing Drive landed virtually in his backyard. "We had to learn on the fly," said Evans, the Alliance board chair, of he and his colleagues. "Our goal here is to first of all understand what the hell is happening to us. The group is fighting to understand that." An April 27th submission by the Alliance to the Phoenix Planning and Development Department ran 20 pages and posed 31 questions about the project. It incorporated an earlier pre-complaint alleging potential future code violations and technical exhibits addressing noise, terrain, and nearby sensitive uses. The questions ranged from how the project was classified and why it did not require rezoning to concerns involving noise, air quality, electrical infrastructure, public participation, and whether Phoenix's new regulations governing data centers should apply. The Alliance asked Phoenix to answer the questions in writing before several pending applications advanced. The city has not answered those 31 questions individually. Rather, it responded separately to the pre-complaint and addressed several of the fundamental issues behind the group's questions in other correspondence. Those responses established some significant lines of disagreement between the Alliance and the city in an increasingly complex dispute. The Alliance also questions why a project of this scale did not go through a new rezoning. Instead, Menlo went through a planning hearing officer process in 2024 to modify stipulations attached to zoning approved decades earlier. The Alliance contends converting the property from its previous commercial uses to a large data center represented a sufficiently significant change to warrant rezoning and the public process that accompanies it. The group points to the January 22, 2024 Ahwatukee Foothills Village Planning Committee meeting, where the chairman announced that the case was not a rezoning, and a city planner called the session a courtesy presentation. For Evans, however, the distinction between what Phoenix zoning allowed decades ago and the type of data center proposed today is central to the dispute. He said he remembers an earlier data operation on the property that included a backup generator in secure areas but caused no noticeable neighborhood problems. A modern hyperscale facility, he contends, is fundamentally different. The dispute has not stopped development review, although the Alliance's April 27th filing specifically requested answers before approvals advanced. By July 9th, Phoenix reported that the final site plan had been approved May 26th, the final May 20th, and electrical substation permit May 28th. Other applications remain under review or had been returned for correction. That leaves the Alliance investigating a project that is not merely proposed but moving through construction and permitting, while many of the questions it has raised remain disputed or unanswered. And this is all the time we have for the article, Data Center Opponents Create Their Own Monsoon in Ahwatukee. And our last article comes to us also from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Ahwatukee retiree finds new purpose as Why OPAS Volunteer. Article by Kayla Canfield, AFN guest writer. For many people, retirement is the beginning of a new chapter in their life, a time to pursue interests, spend time with family, and discover meaningful ways to stay connected to the community. For local resident Susan Tierney, that new chapter has included becoming a volunteer driver with Why OPAS, outreach programs for aging seniors, where she is already making a difference in the lives of local seniors. After retiring in late 2025, Tierney knew she wanted to become more involved in her community. While at her local YMCA, she was introduced to Why OPAS by another volunteer. She decided to give it a try. "I wanted to contribute to this community by supporting our senior residents," she said. "There is so much wisdom and character that our older generations possess, and I hope to capture some of that knowledge through this opportunity." Tierney brings a lifetime of service with her. She previously volunteered with the Women's Transportation Seminar, a transportation industry association that creates opportunities and raises scholarship funds to help advance young women pursuing STEM careers. She also volunteers at Mountain Park Church in Ahwatukee, continuing a tradition of service that began in her childhood. Growing up on a family farm in northeast Kansas, Susan learned early the importance of neighbors helping neighbors. She raised calves, participated in 4-H, entered sewing competitions, and watched her rural community support one another whenever there was a need. "That sense of community stayed with me," she said. "It naturally carried over into my adult life. I believe I'm benefiting just as much as those receiving the ride," she said. She has also been impressed by the organization itself. "The program is incredibly well organized, and the people who manage it are talented and dedicated. They value both me and my time. The clients are very appreciative, so I truly feel like I'm making a positive impact." One of the greatest benefits of volunteering with YOPASS, she noted, is its flexibility. Volunteers can choose assignments that fit their schedules, making it an ideal opportunity for retirees, working adults, or anyone who wants to give back without committing to a rigid timetable. When she isn't volunteering, Tierney enjoys traveling to visit family, walking her Australian Shepherd, Ivy, and is looking forward to beginning several sewing projects. She believes the rewards of volunteering extend far beyond helping those who need transportation. Volunteers often discover new friendships, renewed purpose, and a stronger connection to their community. Her advice to anyone considering volunteering is simple. You can make a notable impact. It's so simple and easy, requiring as much time as you want to give. Don't hesitate because you're missing out on being part of an incredible team of volunteers. I only wish I had become involved much earlier. For those looking for a rewarding way to give back, YOPASS offers an opportunity to make a genuine difference, one ride and one relationship at a time. To learn more about volunteering with YOPASS, call 602-212-6088 or contact valleyymca.org/OPASS. And that's all the time we have for the article entitled "Ahwatukee Retiree Finds New Purpose as YOPASS Volunteer." Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. Remember, you can hear such sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. I'm your volunteer reader, Karen Kelly. Please stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next here on Sun Sounds of Arizona.